Beginning current daf Pesachim daf Samach Dal. We get 10 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. And that is, we have an Isser, Leisishchid al Chametz Dam Zevchi. One is not allowed to slaughter the carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach when one still has Chametz in his possession. And we discussed the different parameters of this halach on the previous daf. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Machlekes in our Mishnah regarding which specific carbonis are applicable for this Isser. And as the Tanna Kamma says, it applies to, as the Pasuk makes it sound like, regarding the Karban Pesach. Then Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which is what the Gemara is going to discuss right now, he includes even the Karban Tumit Shel Bein Harbayim, which is slaughtered at the same time as the Karban Pesach on every Pesach, is also included in the Isser of slaughtering it if one has Chametz in his possession. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we're going to discuss later, that he says even other Karbanas, however, not at the same time when one is liable for the slaughtering the Karban Pesach, when there's going to be Chametz based on his opinion of Shechita She'ina Ruya. So the Gemara begins, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afa Tamid. Rabbi Yehuda was quoted in our Mishnah as saying that also, even if at the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, the evening Karban Tamid, which is again the same timing when we're slaughtering the Karban Pesach, if you do that when you have Chametz in your possession, that would be a violation of this Isser. So the Gemara is my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning for his opinion? Samalacha, he'll tell you, because it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, which is that Pasuk of Leisizbech al Chametz, Dam Zivchi, do not slaughter my carbon with the blood that when there's Chametz, so Zivchi, so to speak, Hashem is saying, my carbon, which is Zevach HaMeyuchadli, the carbon that's specific, that's designated for me, U'maynihu Tamid, what is it? That's a carbon Tamid. The carbon Tamid is something that's brought every day, so to speak, for Hashem. It's not as a neder, a nedava, or a carbon chatas. It's something that's every day given to Hashem, and it's designated every single day like that. Therefore, from the word zivchi, he learns that the halach applies also by the carbon tamid. Now, the third opinion on Mishnah was Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, ha-pesach barba asr b'chulo. So Reb Shimon said, regarding this issur of bringing a carbon when there's chametz in one's possession, so he differentiated, he said that Karban Pesach is going to be a problem on Erev Pesach. Other Karbanis, they will be the violation, but not on Erev Pesach. Only if you have, let's say, on Pesach, which is also, you're not allowed to have Chametz already from Erev Pesach, which is when the Isra begins. If you slaughter a different Karban on Pesach, but not on Erev Pesach, then you'll violate that Isra of Leisitzcha, Chametz Dam Zivchi, even on other Karbanis. So the Gemara says, my term in Reb Shimon, what's the understanding of Reb Shimon's opinion? A, first of all, that he holds it's even by other Karbanis, and that it's only not on Erev Pesach, which is when you're going to violate it for Pesach, only on the other times of the Isra Chametz, which is during the Yom Tov of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Dechsiv, Zivchi, Zivchi, Trei Zimni. It says in the Pasuk, two different Pesukim, it says when it says the word Zivchi. So as Rashi explains, there's two Yuds. It could have just said Zevach, what's Zivchi? So you take the Yud of one of the Zivchis, and you put it onto the other. And therefore, Kari Bey, you read the two words now, Zevach, which would be a reference to the Karban Pesach, and Zevochai, my Karbanais, which is plural, which is for all the other Karbanis, to teach you that there's the violation on both the Karban Pesach, which is an individual Zevach, and then take that Yud and put it onto the other one, Zevochai, which is the plural to say on all the other Karbanis. So that's how you know the halacha that it applies to all Karbanis. But then the question is, why did the Torah separate the two, and it had to do it in this way that to have Zevach Pesach mentioned separately from Zevachayai, v'laikasa Zevachayai, and why didn't you just say one pasuk of Zevach with the two yods? And that would have included everything, because this is my karbanis in plural, which would have been meaning Pesach and all other karbanis. So why does it separate the two of them? Lameimar, to say, and this is what Reb Shimon's halacha was in the Mishnah, Bizman de ikka zevach, at a time when there is the zevach, which is a reference to the Karban Pesach, which is on the 14th of Nisan, loy mechai vazvachai. They're mutually exclusive. Then there would be no violation on the other karbanas. Bizman de leke zevach, when there is no time of the Karban Pesach, which is on when Pesach already begins, because it's only brought on Yudal Nisan, not throughout Pesach, then mechai vazvachai. Then you're going to be violating the Isra of slaughtering all the other karbanas when you have chametz in your possession. Again, as Reb Shimon had said in our Mishnah, that he said the Isra of slaughtering the Karban Pesach is on Yudal Nisan, but not on Pesach, because that's not when you bring the Karban Pesach. And whereas the other karbanas are only on Pesach and not on Erev Pesach, because that's why the Pasuk mentioned them separately. So now, one of the things Reb Shimon had said was Ubimayid, that on the Yom Tov of Pesach, that the Karban Pesach, if you're slaughtering it then, L'shmai pata, if you're doing it for the namesake of the Karban Pesach, which is already too late, you're supposed to bring it on the 14th of Nisan. If you do it, let's say, on the 16th of Nisan, with the intention to bring it for a Karban Pesach, then you're going to be pata, exempt. If you do it shalai l'shmai then, the Karban Pesach, which was supposed to be the Pesach, you bring it, let's say, as a Shlomo now, then you'd be Chayv. So the Gemara asks, Taima d'shaloi l'shmoi. It sounds like that the reason why you're going to be Chayv, if you bring it on the Yom Tiv, is because you're doing it shaloi l'shmoi, which is, as we had explained previously, that essentially, a Karban Pesach gets transformed and loses its status of a Pesach once it goes past the 14th of Nisan. It becomes then a Shlomim. So then when you do it shaloi l'shmoi on Pesach, which is essentially what it really is right now, because not doing it for the Pesach is then doing it for the Shlomim, but that's what it is right now. So then you're going to be chayv, because that's considered a full-fledged shechita, and therefore you're going to be chayv for violating when you're having chametz in your possession. Hastama pater. However, the diuk of the Mishnah, of the status that of the statement that Reb Shimon is saying is that if you didn't do it with any, you just did it without any thought, which is called stam, just in the default state that it's in, that then you would be exempt from the Isra of Leisishchet al Chametz Dam Zivchi. And the reason would be, because we would say, as long as you didn't uproot the original status of the Karban Pesach that it had, the name, the designation that it was for Pesach, so it retains that. And therefore, if you shechted the rest of the year, it's going to be invalid, and because it's still the Karban Pesach, and Karban Pesach is not valid the rest of the year. And hence it's called a Shechita She'ena Ruya, which means a not fit Shechita, which Reb Shimon's opinion, as we had mentioned in the previous staff, he held Shechita She'ena Ruya, Lo Yishma Shechita. It's not considered as if you actually did a slaughtering, because slaughtering makes it permitted. This is not permitting it, because it's invalid, and the reason why it's invalid, because it's, you're still doing it for a Pesach. No, it's not a Pesach anymore, although it was. And you're doing it shalei l'shmoi, that would make it chayiv, because that's exactly what it is shalei l'shmoi now, it is a shlomim. But when you do it stam, that means you're still doing it for what its original default was, which was Pesach, and therefore it's not going to be a violation because it's not actually doing a shechita, because it's a shechita she'ena ruya. On that, the Gemara asks, Amai, why is that? As we just explained, Pesach b'shayi ma'isa shana shlom hava. Once it moves past the 14th of Nisan, it then becomes a shlomim. So why, if you say you do it stam, which is the default that it is, now the default that it is now is already a shlomim. So then if you do it stam, you should be chayv, just like when you do it shaloi l'shmai, which again means from the original name of Pesach, and doing it for shlomim. When you do it stam, you're also doing it for shlomim, because it's already a shlomim. So why would you be pater? So that the Gemara wants to say, shamit mina, should we hear from this, that from for that the, to understand from the statement of Reb Shimon, Pesach b'shayi ma'isa shana b'yakir. It sounds like what essentially he's saying is that the Karban Pesach on the other days of the year, it doesn't automatically go ahead and become a Karban Shlomim. You would have to actually uproot it and say, you know what? It's not valid anymore, the Pesach. Therefore, I am now transforming it into a Shlomim, which is what it's supposed to be. And that the Gemara is asking, is that what we should to derive from Shimon's statement, that that's exactly what he's trying to say? Because he's only saying, if you do Shalei L'shma, that you're going to be Chayv. But however, Stama should also be. Obviously, Stama is still going to retain its old Pesach, and you would have to uproot it first to become a Shlomim. And that the Gemara says, "Amr b'chir b'gamda, nizrukum mipicha bura." It was said in the name of the entire group, which basically means that everyone agreed. V'amr, and they said, as a way of establishing the understanding of Reb Shimon's opinion on Mishnah, that it sounds like that you have to uproot the shame of Pesach, which would then sound like that it's not automatically a shlamim. That's not necessarily the case. It's not true. Once the 14th of Nisan passes, it does now become a shlamim. And if you would do it stama on a regular situation, it would be a shlam, and therefore you would be chayv if you had chametz in your possession on Pesach. Here is talking about kugain shahoyu bailim tmei meis. We're talking about where the owner of this carbon Pesach was someone that had a tumma that had been contracted from in coming in contact with a corpse when he was on the 14th of Nisan. Now, someone that's a tmei meis cannot bring the carbon Pesach, which there's a whole parasha in the Torah about that. V'nitchin lePesach Sheni, and they get pushed off to what's called Pesach Sheni, which is on the 14th of Iyar. In such a situation, we say that then we take that his it's that the default position of that Karban Pesach is not a shlamim, because it still was going to be valid to bring it on the 14th of Iyar. Oh, such a situation, we say, has to have an akira, has to be uprooted, because that stama would be a Pesach, because it's still going to be used as a Karban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. But when someone's not a Tamei Meis, actually, let's say he brought a different Karban Pesach, let's say that one was lost at the time, whatever it is, and then it's past the 14th of Nisan, then that would not be a Karban Pesach anymore, that would be now a default as a Shlamim, and that would not need an akira, so therefore it's not a raya to that question. He were told me that it was a Tamei Meis, and that's why the stama is for Karban Pesach, and that's why it's only if you do it Shaloi Lishmai that you're going to Chayv, but stama would be Pat. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about the order of the Karban Pesach, which is done on the 14th of Nisan. So the Mishnah says, HaPesach nishchad b'shalosh kitas. The Karban Pesach was slaughtered in three different groups. And this is when the Tzibur would bring the Karban Pesach, whether there was a lot of people or a small amount of people, and even if they could do it all at one time, it was a mitzvah to go ahead and do it in three different groups, one after another. And how do we know this? Shunem, like it says, HaPesach in Shemais, b'shachatu oisoi kol kahal adas Yisrael. That the entire assembly of the congregation of the Jewish people was slaughtered. Now, it has all these different terminologies, which that's what the Mishnah explains. Kahal, assembly, ve'eda, and congregation, v'Yisrael, and the Jewish people, those are three different terms to tell us that it's going to be all these different groupings, one for 10 for each of these groups. In other words, you have to have these three different groupings. So the Mishnah explains exactly what happened. Nichnasa kadarishayin, so the first group would come in. Nismal Azar, so the entire courtyard would fill up with all the people of the first group. Nalu Dalsas Azar, and then they would close the gates of the courtyard. Takiyu Hariyu Vitaku, they would do a Takiya, then they would do a Trua, then they would do a Takiya. Hakhanim Imdim Shurish Shuris. Now the Khan would be lined up in rows. Ubiyadim, and in their hands would be Bezichi Kesef or Bezichi Zav. Bowls, silver bowls and gold bowls, and these were bowls where they would be using to accept and receive the blood that would be used in the Avodah of the Zrika. Shura Shakula Kesef Kesef. The row that was entirely silver was only silver. Bishur Shakula Zav Zav. And the row of the Kanim that was gold was only gold. And the Gemara is going to explain why they had separate rows of gold and silver. Lahayu Muravan. And these rows wouldn't mix up. Again, they would be totally separate. But Lahayu Levezichin Shulayim. And these bowls that they were holding did not have wide bottoms. Rather, they were pointy. And the reason was so that they shouldn't be able to put it down on the ground, because if it's pointy, it's just going to fall down. All the blood inside is going to spill out. And the reason why they did that was Shemi and Ichim, because maybe the Kahanim are going to put down the bowl on the floor until they can get other blood. And the reason is because there was so much, they would have to go ahead and put it down for a moment and then forget about it. The Yikra Shadam, and then maybe the blood will be congealed. And then it won't be fit to throw it anymore because it has to be in the liquid state. And therefore, they didn't want to have that situation coming that you're going to put it down. You're going to get so busy with all the different things. You're going to forget about it and be congealed. Therefore, they had these pointy things that you had no option but to hold on to it and not have this mistake of forgetting about it. So then, Shachad Yisrael. The way it worked was that if a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, wanted to, he was allowed to slaughter. And that's because Shechita, although it's one of the Avodas on the carbon, that's allowed to be done with a Zar, with a non-Kohen, with all carbonas. But then Mekibul HaKoyin, then regarding receiving the blood that comes out from the animal after it's slaughtered, that a Koyin has to accept in the bowl from the neck of the lamb, when the sheep, when it's being slaughtered, because that is a void that has to be done with Kahanim. Noisin L'Chaver, and then that Koyin gives it to his friend, V'Chaver L'Chaver, and his friend to his friend, and that's because, as we had explained, they were all standing in this long row from where it was slaughtered all the way to the Mizbech, so everyone would be passing on to the next one. Now, so in these rows, people were passing these bowls back and forth, the ones with the full blood, and then bringing back after it was thrown on the Mizbech, back the empty bowls. So first, the Kohen would receive the full bowl from the one that was giving it to him, and then he would give back the empty one to the one that it was coming from. Kohen HaKarv Eitzel Mizbech. Now, the Kohen that was right next to the Mizbech, Zerka Zerika Achas, he would throw the blood in one throw. In other words, he would take the bowl itself and throw it, and he wouldn't go ahead and use his finger to dab onto the Mizbeach, because the only carbon that needs to do with the etzba, with a finger, is only the carbon chatas, as it says over there, be'etzboi. And now, where would he do this? Where would he throw it on the Mizbeach? So specifically, it was done k'neged ha'yisayid, opposite the base of the Mizbeach. And that is on the sides of the Mizbeach, where there was a base, which was this small little amah, a protrusion coming out in the bottom, and they would throw it there to the space on top of the Mizbeach, where it was standing up part, and then the blood would trickle down to the Yisayid, to the foundation. And the reason is that what the Mishnah is saying, Keneged HaYisayid, is because the Mizbeach was not totally surrounded with the Yisayid on all parts. It was only by the northern part and on the western part, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Midas. And that's why we had to specify in the Mishnah that it had to be done Keneged HaYisayid, so that it could drip down to the foundation that it had to be. So then it says, Yatzikas Rishayna, Benichnas Kachnia. Then the first group would go out, then the second group would come in. Yatzashnia, Nichnas Rishlishis, and then the second group would come out, and then the third group would come in. And Kamaisi Rishayna, Kachmaisa Shnia Vashlishis. And just like we explained, this whole order with all the groups, it applied to all the groups this same process that we mentioned. Karas Ahal, so they would, each group that we were speaking about, they would recite the Hal. Now, Im Gamru, if they finished reciting the Hal, in other words, from when they started the slaughtering, they're doing this whole Avodah with Karban Pesach, they started right away to recite Hal. Now, if there were many carbon Pesachs being brought and it took a long time to shechita until they finished and there were still people slaughtering, so then shanu, so then they would go ahead and repeat the challah a second time. Vim shanu, and if they did it a second time, that is, and they still didn't finish bringing all the carbon Pesachs, then shlish shalshu, then they would do it a third time. And this would apply to all the different groups. That is, depending if it took a long time, so they repeat it and repeat it, even a third time. Now, although the Mishnah says, af pishlei shalshu mimehim, although this never really happened, that they would need to repeat it three times, because the Kahanim, there were many Kahanim, and they were very quick in the work that they did in the Beis HaMikdash, so it wasn't necessary, but that the halachically, that was what they would have done. They would have repeated a third time. Rabbi Huda says a different thing related to this, that mimeim shalkat shlishes, that from all the days of the third group, which was the last group, lehigiu, they didn't even reach till ahavti ki yishma Hashem, to in the psukim, in the parakim in Halal, that to even the first round around, they didn't even get that far. And that's the reason they sha'am amu'atim, because there were a small amount of people. Everyone would get into the first group, whoever didn't get into the first group, into the second group, and the third group was the smallest group, and therefore they never even got to ahavti. So the Mishnah says, just like how we did the Karban Pesach during the weekday, it's exactly how they would do on Shabbos. They wouldn't do anything differently. Ella, however, the Kahanim, they would clean out the courtyard against the will of the sages. And that is the way in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot of blood and different things that were there and being done in the Avodah in the courtyard. So there was an Amas HaMayim, there was a little canal that would run through the courtyard. And when they wanted to clean out the Azara, so they would close up the holes of where this water would be leaving from. Then the water would overflow over the banks of that canal. And then they would wash out the entire courtyard. And that's because the Azara, the courtyard, had a floor made out of marble. And then they would open up the holes and then the water would go out and it would clean out everything that it took with it. Now, in Erev Pesach, because there were a lot of blood, because again of all the carbon Pesachs they were bringing, so they would wash it, and the Kahan would wash it on Shabbos, even whenever Pesach fell on Shabbos, and that was against the willing of the Chacham. They held that was not right. Now another thing that they had done, Rehuda says, Kais ha'imimali midama terubis. They would fill up a cup from all the blood that was mixed, and that is all the blood that was laying there on the floor. They would take a cup and pick up from all that blood mixed together, and the Gemara doesn't explain the reason for why they would do that. And Zerka Zuka Achasakam Mizbech, and they would take one spray of all this collected blood and spray it on the Mizbech. But Velahoyd Lacham, Lacham didn't agree to this opinion, to do that, to collect all the blood and throw that blood onto the Mizbech. So now the Mishnah continues, Kitzah Toil Mavshin. So we spoke about the Shechita that was done by the Yisrael, and then we're talking about how they would take the blood, the Kabbalah, and then the Haylacha, bring it to Mizbech and do the Zrika. Now how would they hang it and then skin the animal to be able to do the avoida and to be able to then consume it later on at night? So unkaloyis, they had these hooks, which the edges were bent upward, shel barzel, that were made out of iron, hekivun b'ksalim v'amudim, they were set in on the walls and on these different pillars that they had. And these were small little pillars, they were called nanasin, which basically means like a dwarf, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Tumet. It says in the Mishnah that the slaughtering house was to the northern part of the Mizbeach, and on that they had eight different of these amudim, which were called nanasin, and they had these little poles of cedar wood on them, and they had these unkaloyas that we're talking about, these hooks made out of iron that were in them, and there were three different orders of them, and on them they would hang the animals, and they would flay the animals, they would then skin the animals there. Shebehen toil mavshidin, that on them they would hang it and skin the animals. Now, kamish she'ein le'makom litlus l'havshid, so there was only a limited amount, so whoever didn't have space where to hang it to skin their animal, so maklis dakim v'chalakim ho'yisham. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there were these sticks that were thin and they were smooth, because they were peeled from the bark that was around them. So two people would go ahead and take the stick, put one end on his shoulder, one hand on his friend's shoulder, and that way it would be hanging, and they would hang it and skin it that way. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, he said, you doubt if Erev Pesach, we continue on Tamid Beis, Shechali is Peshabbos, that was on Shabbos, where then you cannot move the sticks because of problems of Muktzah, then maniach yodei al kesef chaveroi, then he would put his hand on his friend's shoulder, v'yad chaver al kesefa, and his friend would put his hand on his shoulder, v'tayla, and then they would hang it by the sinews of the knees of the animal on their arms. Umafshid, in that way they would go ahead and skin it that way. So then the Mishnah says, so after they did all these things, karoi, they would rip open the animal, V'hoitzias emur, they would take out the sacrificial parts, and nasnu b'magis, they would put that into a bowl. They k'tinu gam mizbeach, and those are the things that they were burnt on the mizbeach. Those are what's called the emur. So yatzikat rishayin, and then the first group would go out. They did this whole process that we spoke about. V'yashvelo b'harbais, and they would stay on the Temple Mount. And this is talking about on Shabbos, when they couldn't go ahead and take their Karban Pesach out to home because it was Shabbos. So they would stay on the harbais. Shnia b'chel, the b'chel, the second group, after they were finished, they would go into what's called the chelpa, which is before the sarig, which is this lattice work type of a wall that was there. And between the sarig and the wall of the Ezes Nashim, which was in the beginning of the part of the upper part of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where they would stay. And Vashlishes, and the third group, who was the last one there, they would stay in Vazar, where they were the last one to finish. Chashecha, when it finally got dark, and it was not Shabbos anymore, and it was Pesach, which was the Matzah Shabbos, Yatzu v'tzolas peschen, they would go out and roast a Karban Pesach and do whatever they had to do, because it's not Shabbos anymore, they're able to do those malachas. So now the Gemara explains our Mishnah. Amar b'Yitzchak. In a Pesach Nishcha, the first halacha that we spoke about, the Karban Pesach cannot be slaughtered. Ela begimel kitos shel shleishim shleishim ne'adam. It has to have three groups, and it has to have 30 people in each and every group. Now, the reason for this is my timer. As we said in our Mishnah, kahal, so it says the gathering, the Eda, the congregation, the Yisrael, and the Jewish people. Now, these three terms, each term is 10 people. Now, the reason why you need to have 30 in every group is mesafkalan. With the Chazal, we're not sure. Ibevas achas, if that meant at one time, and that is, maybe one time it was telling us to slaughter it, to have 30 people, because to have kahal, Eda, and Yisrael at one time. Or ibezachazeh, we weren't sure, did it mean three different times, meaning three groups of 10. So hilkach be'inon sholshkit. So therefore you need to have three groups, and that's because maybe it has to be one after another. That was the three terminologies of kahal, Eda, and Yisrael. But it also has to be shalshalishim shalim in the other. It has to be 30 people each group, because maybe it's really supposed to be at one time. And therefore, you're not supposed to have less than 30 people at one time to have kahal, which is 10, Eda, which is 10, and Yisrael to have 10. So therefore, you have to have 30 in each of three groups, the ibevas achasa'ika, because if it has to be at one time, you have 30, and the ibezachazeh ha'ika, and if it has to be three different times, you have at least 10, you have even 30 in three different times. However, the Gemara does conclude, hilkach, therefore, really b'chamisha namisagi. It's really enough to have just 50 people. And the way you do it is, the aili tlasin v'avdi, you have 30 people that come in and they go ahead and they bring their Karban Pesach. Aili asar v'nafki asar, and then you have 10 people go out, and 10 new people come in. And aili asar v'nafki asar, then you have, again, 10 new people come in, and 10 of the old people go out. And that is because if you needed to have it at one time, so then you had in the first group, you had 30. And if it was the having three groups of at least 10 each time, you have that. Because 10 leave, 10 new come in, just 10 new, and then the third time also 10 new. And you also have the 30, so therefore you don't really need to have that 90 of 30, 30, 30. You could really have 50 by having 30, then adding 10, and then adding 10. Now the Gemara continues explaining on Mishnah. So we said, Nichnasa Katarishain, we said the first group came in, and then we said that they would close the gates of the Azar. So we have machloikis about how to be gairis in our Mishnah. What does it mean when they would close the gates of the courtyard? So Edma was learned, Abaya Amar Ninilu Tnan. The way we should learn in our Mishnah was that the doors would be closed by themselves. And that's because there was a miracle. No one would actually close it. The doors would close by themselves. Rava Amar says, Nilu Tnan. No, we learned in the Mishnah that they would close it, not that it closed by itself. So Gemara says, my benai, what is the difference between them? What is the halachic ramifications? So, ikbenayu lemismach anisa. The difference between them is, can we rely on a miracle? And Abaya Amar Ninu Lutanan. Abaya says that the doors closed by themselves, that kamada ailu malu, however people could get in, got in. Vesamachin anisa, and we rely on a miracle. And that is, as long as the doors did not close by themselves, we would let people come in as much as wanted. And we weren't concerned that maybe everyone's going to come in, there's not going to be enough for the three groups. And that's halacha. We weren't concerned. We knew that the miracle would happen, that the door would close, and people would be left out, and then there would be a necessity for three groups. Rav Amar Neulitzan, the Rav says, no, the way you should learn that Mishnah is that they would close the gates. Because V'lo Yisamchei Anisa, can't rely on a miracle. If we let everybody go in and then close the gates, or if the gates even close by themselves, but we're not sure, we can't rely on that miracle, and then we might not have the halacha of three different groups. Then the Mishnah says, then the Gemara says, "V'hadit na." This that we learned in the Mishnah, which as Rashi quotes, it's brought in the Masechtas Idyas. The Mishnah tells us there are four things were said a testimony by a Kavi ben Mahalal, which that's what Masechtas Idyas is, all these different testimonies. So it says over there that he used to say that you can't do the drinking of the mei saita, which is what the suspected adulterous woman drinks, if she's a geyeris, or if she's a meshuchreris, that is a woman that was a convert, or if she's was a slave woman that was freed. So they told him, what do you mean? There was a story in Karkamis, there was a slave woman that was in Yerushalayim, and Shmai and Naftalian, the two great Torah sages, gave her the mei saita, the saita waters to drink. So he said to them this term, dugma hishkihu, which means that, yes, because they were from families of Gerim. So they gave the same to them, so that's why they gave it. But really, that's not the halacha. So there the Mishnah says that they put him in Gerim, because to say such a thing, that is if they pasken halacha based on their own personal biases, and therefore they put a kavi b'malal in nidu in Gerim. On that, Omer Yehuda said, chas v'shalom, sha'kavi b'malal nisnade. God forsaken to say this, that he was put in Gerim for saying such a statement. Because the courtyard gates never closed on someone as great in wisdom and in fear of sin as their Kaveh ben Mahalal. And that is, when the gates closed, what he meant was on Erev Pesach, when there was such a great populace of people and everyone was there, still there was no one as great in wisdom as fear of sin as their Kaveh ben Mahalal. And therefore, it was something else. Now, Abaye Mitarets L'Tameh, V'Rav Mitarets L'Tameh, they each interpret that term that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah according to how they say in our Mishnah, and that is Abaye Mitarets L'Tameh, as he said before. The term was, Ein Bazar, there is no one in the court that B'Shosh Sheninela Al Kal Adam Yisrael B'Chach M'Yerzchet Kachav Malal. That is when the gates closed by themselves, because that's his opinion, that they were closed by themselves. Rav Mitarets L'Tameh, he said according to his opinion mentioned here, that Ein Bazar B'Shosh Sheninela Naisa. No one was in the courtyard at the time when they would close the gates. Again, just that the same machlekes they have with the girsois over here, they have the same machlekes over there in the girsois in Masechtas Idyas. So related to this, that we learned in the Braisa, there was never a person that was crushed, that was squashed in the courtyard, except for one Erev, one Yom Tov HaPesach, Shai B'Mehil, which was in the days of Hill, Shnesmaich B'Zokin Echad, that one elderly person got crushed. And they called it the crushed Pesach. And that's because of that one person that was crushed in the Azar. Turn by, we learn the Braisa. Similar. Pam Achas Bikish Agrippas HaMelech. One time it happened that King Agrippas wanted Litin Einav B'Chlos Yisrael. He wanted literally that means to put his eyes on the populace of the Jewish people. In other words, he wanted to know how many Jewish people there actually are. Amalei l'Kohen Gadol, say, told to the Kohen Gadol, Tein enecha b'psachim, put your eyes, in other words, I want you to keep count by the Karban Pesachs, and that way I'll be able to measure how many people there are. So, not l'kul yimikol echad, he took a kidney from every one of the Karban Pesachs, v'nim tzusham, and the total tally was that there was shishim ribay zuge kolayis. There were 600,000 pairs of kidneys, which basically means 1,200,000, Kiflayim kiyetz Mitzrayim, double of the amount of people that went out of Mitzrayim, which were 600,000 people. And that's chutz mitamei v'shoi b'derech rechaki. That's excluding even the people that were richly impure, that they couldn't bring the carbon, and that they were far away, and they weren't able to make it in time. And even more of a chiddush is how many people there actually were, is ve'en l'cho kal pesach o pesach. Each carbon pesach did not have shalei nimnu lav yisim esar b'nei adam. That did not have at least 10 people that were part of that group. And that is, each carbon pesach is not eaten necessarily by one person. They could be shared by a group. So each one had at least 10 people on each one. And therefore, so there were 120, there was 600,000 times 2, times 10, at least amount of Jews, besides the people that were not available to bring the carbon pesach. But you currently say pesach me'uben. And they called it the thick pesach. And thick from the word av, because there were a thick amount of people that were there at that Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks on that episode, not to kulya, did the Kohen Gadol take the kidney? And that's because he was using that as a way of using for the census. But habayak tura, you have to actually burn that on the Mizbeach. So on that the Gemara says, the Hadda Maktul is not difficult. He later, after he went and he had that whole pile of kidneys, he went and then he threw it on the Mizbeach. But then the Gemara asks, what do you mean? It says in the Pasuk that they sacrifice it, which is mashma v'hiktirui, that it's an individual term, that they sacrificed it. And that is shelo yervcha lav of shel, that they should not mix the fats of this carbon bezet and another carbon. So how could you have made this pile of counting up and say, oh, we count this whole thing and then throw them all in the mizbech? But you have to do the vav at the end is a singular, so that you can't do them all together. So on that, the Gemara says, you're right. It didn't mean that he would go ahead and pile it up and then when he was done with all of them, then he threw them on together on the mizbech. It means after he took one, then he would put that onto the mizbech separately. But on that, the Gemara asked, but Tanya in the Braisa, it says, v'hiktiram. In another place, it says that he would sacrifice them, which is she'ekula ke'echad, that all the emurin, all the sacrificial parts of the carbon, they all have to be brought together. So how can he have, let's say, done the chalavim, the different parts of the sacrificial parts, and then after those were done, then he would throw on this kidney separately. So although it wasn't mixed with the others, because it can't be with the others, says v'ktiroi, but it says v'ktirim too, that has to be with all of them of this carbon itself, and if he waited at least even a little bit, it would be done separately. That can't be done separately either. So that the Gemara concludes, elatfisa ba'alma. Rather, he just held on, he grabbed the kidney just for a moment to show to his attendant, the shakal minayu, that he would take from them, until they gave him something else. They would give him a bean or a stone in place of that. So he would just take it, show them, they would give him a rock or whatever it is, and they would put that down into his tally box of where he'd be counting, and then he'd put it right back, and they would be sacrificed with all the sacrificial parts at the same time, and therefore it's not difficult. So the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, Kehanim, Oimnim, Shuris, V'chulu, the Kehanim would be standing in rows, going all the way to the Mizbech, and there would be a row of silver, a row of gold. So the Gemara asked, my timer, what's the reason why they had these separate rows, a row entirely of silver, and a row entirely of gold? So, Ilay Medilma, if you're going to say that the reason is that you couldn't have in the same row gold and silver, is because when he's giving back the empty one and he's getting the full bowl of the blood, so sometimes it could happen that Chakli did the Hava will be taking the gold one, Uma'ili the Kaspa, and giving the silver one. And that is that when he's giving back the empty one of the gold to that person, to that other Kayan who's sending it back to where the Shechitas are being done, so then he's the one who's giving him the full one might be giving him a full one of silver. Now that's a problem because that's what's called Moirid B'Kedusha. You can only be Ma'ilim B'Kedush and you can't be Moirid B'Kedush. And therefore, if you can have these mixed rows of silver and gold and not just one or the other, you might end up taking something lower status than the one that you just had, and that you can't do. If you're giving back a gold one, you can't now go ahead and take a full one of silver. And that the Gemara says, how can you say that's the reason? So Hachinam, even now, you still didn't take care of the problem, because even if the rows are entirely gold, entirely silver, but Dilma, Shakli, Bar Must, and Amali Bar Ma, maybe now, so you're right, they're all entirely gold or silver, but maybe the gold one, one's worth 200, and one's worth 100. And you still have the problem. They're not both going to be worth exactly the same amount. And that should still be the problem of being married by Kedusha. Rather, Ella, the Gemara says, the Hachi Shabbatfe. Just that was prettier. It was nicer. It was more uniform. And therefore, because of having this row of entirely gold, right? But totally silver looks better than when it's just mixed and matched. That's why it was a separate row of gold instead of a row of silver. So then the Mishnah said, V'lohila v'zichin shalayim v'chulu. That these bowls did not have a thick bottom, they would be like pointy, and the reason was so that they shouldn't put it down because then they might forget about it and might be congealed. So talking about learning the Braisa, that kol ha-bezichin should be mikdash, all the bowls in the Beis HaMikdash, lahayil and shalayim, they didn't have these wide bottoms, they would all be pointy. Chutz mi-bezichin levaynish lechem upon them, except for the bowls that were used for the frankincense that were by the lechem upon them, that is, they would put on the shulchan, which was near the breads of the lechem upon them, they would put the bowls of the frankincense. And they wanted them to be wide over there so that they shouldn't be pointy, because if you're going to be pointy, you're going to have to lean it on something, and they might lean it on the breads that are next to them. Now, Shemi Yenichem V'Yifras Alechem, maybe they're going to lean it on the breads, and the breads are going to break. And that is because the breads there were a little more fragile in the sense they were made like an upside-down table with like a ches, which it had these walls, and that's why they're called Lechem Apan, they were faces, and therefore it's going to be leaning on the wall. It's going to break it. And that's why there we specifically wanted it to have a wide bottom that could sit on its own and not lean on the bread and break it. So the Mishnah said, Shachat Yisrael v'kibel ha'koin v'chulu, that the Yisrael could do the Shechita, and the Kohen had to do the Kabbalah. That the Gemara asks, Lo Sagi de Lav Yisrael, is it not possible any other way that the Yisrael should not do it? It sounds like the Yisrael, the non-Kohen, has to do the Shechita. Another thing, Gemara says, no, he guva kamashman. This is exactly what we're teaching you in our Mishnah. The Shechita, bizarre ksher, that it is valid with a Zar, but he doesn't have to. A Kohen can do the Shechita too. And when the Mishnah said, V'kibul HaKohen, that the Kohen does the Kabbalah, he receives the blood coming out of the animal after it was slaughtered, HaKamashmalan, that is teaching us also that Mekabbalah V'elech Mitzvah Kuna, that from the receiving of the blood and onward, all those future Avodas, with the Halacha and the Zrika, they are all have to be done with the Kohen, as it says in the Pasuk, V'shachat es ben habacha, that he will slaughter the animal, V'hikriv ben Aaron, then it says that the sons of Aaron will bring it near. Now, so it says in Masechtas Chagiga, Naf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that when it says V'hikrivui, that means the Kabbalah of the dam, of the receiving of the blood, that teaches you from the Kabbalah, from the receiving of the blood onward, that needs ben Aaron, that needs the Kahanim. Then it said in the Mishnah, Nuisne l'chaver, that then that one who received the blood, he gives it to his friend, and then he gives it to his friend, and then they take it all the way to the Mizbech, just by passing one to another. So now the Gemara says, Shamina. From that, from our Mishnah, you learn the following halacha, that halacha shalei beregel, that passing the blood, in other words, going, usually halacha means to say that you go and you transport the blood from where it was slaughtered to the Mizbech, which is called halacha, it's one of the avodas. So from our Mishnah, you learn that transporting it without walking, which is essentially the case of our Mishnah, havi halacha, that is considered transporting the blood. Now this is a machloikis at the end of the first Perek Masechta Zvachim, on the Vidalim at base, where it says that there's four avodas, four services done in the avodah of the blood, which is the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha, and the zrika. And the kabbalah and the halacha are learned out from the word vehikrivui, as the Gemara says, that as we mentioned in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Chagiga. So there's a machlekes regarding if it will be considered transporting by not actually transporting, but by passing it along, if that's halacha. And that the Gemara says, maybe it's not true. Maybe you can't learn that from a Mishnah. Dilma hu nayid porta. Maybe he's moving a little bit, so he takes a step. That is already considered halacha, and then he passes it to the next one. But then the Gemara asks back, Vela Makamash one, then what would our Mishnah be teaching? If you're saying that they would have these rows, it's teaching us that Kabbalah, Shalai Beregel, is considered the halacha. Shalai Beregel is considered halacha. But if not, what's the Mishnah teaching us? The Gemara says it's still not a right, because Hakamash one, it could be teaching us, Bereivam, Hadras Melech. With the large amount of people, that is considered the glory for the king, and that is everybody's involved. Now, they got all the kahanim, everyone's lined up. It's this awesome sight. That's the roivam. That's the hadras melech. That's why we were teaching you this, that they would pass from one to the other to say everybody was involved, but not to teach us necessarily that halacha shel beregel is considered halacha. Maybe that he would take a step forward because you need to have an actual halacha. Then the Mishnah said, Kibul es amale umachzes regem chulah. So he would, when they would be passing the bowls, they would be going back and forth in this assembly line, so to speak, going from the shechita to the mizbeach and then back. So he would receive the blood, the full one, and he would give back the empty one going backwards. So the Gemara makes an inference. Aval ipcha, but the other way around. In other words, to first give back the empty bowl and then receive the full bowl, loy. That it doesn't say. And that is from the moment that the other kohen who has the full blood, full a bowl of blood is passing it to him, he first has to receive that bowl and then give back the empty bowl. And that, that supports what B'Shem Melakish had said. The Amr B'Shem Melakish that he had said, Ein mavir nala mitzvahs. One cannot pass by mitzvahs. And that is from when it comes to you, you have to first receive that and then go ahead and do something else that you were going to do. So first you have to get, which is the mitzvah of the halacha of the blood, you have to first go ahead and accept that and then give back your empty bowl. Then the Mishnah said, Kohen HaKarv Eitz HaMizbech B'chul, the Kohen that was near to the Mizbech, what he would do, he would do one Zrika on the Mizbech, and then he would pass the bowl back. So the Gemara asks, Man, Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says Pesach B'Zrika, that the blood of the Korban Pesach was done by throwing? And that is, throwing means to say that it has to be from a distance, because that's how you're throwing, and not by just pouring, which would mean nearby, which would be an easily done thing, which is that you bring the bowl right next to the wall of the Mizbech and just turn the bowl and spill it on. Because as Rashi brings, there is an opinion that's brought at the last parak on Kof Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, that the Korban Pesach, the blood was done with shvich, with just pouring, and that's Rabbi Shmuel, who's mentioned over there, that learns out from the Pasuk, V'dam Zevechech Yishafech, that it should be poured, as it's learned in Masechta Zvachim, in Perek Beis Shammai, that there is no carbon, as we mentioned before, that needs to be done with an espa, with a finger, only carbon chatzis, but all other carbonas, are done by throwing the blood from the vessel. So who is the town of our mission that says the Korban Pesach is done with throwing and not with pouring? So Rabbi Chisda, Rabbi Yosef Galili, it's Rabbi Yosef Galili, the town of Galilei Braisa. Basically, the Omer, he says, it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, as damam tizuk al mizbeach, their blood you should throw on the mizbeach, ves chelbam takta, and their fats, those you should sacrifice, you should burn on the mizbeach. Now, damay lo yinamar, it doesn't say its blood, which this is talking about by the Parsha of Bechor, of the firstborn animal, that says ach bechor shur, etc. So that's what it says over there. Now, it doesn't say dama, which it should have, because it's talking about just one type of carbon. Ela damam. Rather, it says their bloods. Now, obviously, other bloods are being included, which teaches us, which is similar type of categories, is that the Karban Pesach and Maaser Behema, which we don't find anywhere else in the Torah where it says about their bloods, rather over here is where it's included, and it says that Tizrik, that it should be thrown, and it doesn't say that it should be poured, and therefore this is basically the source that you see the Karban Pesach, that's why it's included in Damam, that it has to be thrown and not poured. And moreover, Chelboi Loinem, the Bryce says, doesn't say its fats, El Chelbam rather means it, their fats, so limit as the Bryce, the conclusion basically says, Al-Bachar, U-Maisur, U-Pesach, on these three types, which are in their own the same category, that Shehin Tunin Matndam, that they have to have this throwing of the blood from the bowl, which is Dammam, Ve'imurim L'gam Mizbech, and that their sacrificial parts have to be burned in Mizbech, and again, that's included in Chelbam. Now the question is, so that is the source, and that's the opinion of our Mishnah that has to be thrown, but Minalan de Tunin Yisai, the next fact that our Mishnah said, that it has to be thrown where the foundation part is, which is not on every part of the Mizbech, only certain areas had that. How do you know that it needs the foundation? So Amr Belazar, Belazar says, Asya Zrika Zrika Mi'alu. We learned the word of throwing, which is what it says by Bukhar, which again, including by the Karban Pesach, that it has to be thrown. We learned that out from the Karban Oila. Ksiv Hach has damim tizrik al Mizbeach. Their blood should be thrown on Mizbeach. Ksiv Hasman says over there by the Karban Oila, Bizarku b'nei Aaron hakehanim is damai. So it says throwing the children of Aaron the Kohen would throw the blood al Mizbeach, sav on the Mizbeach, around. And that is ma'ila tun yisoid, just like we know that the carbon oil needs to have the foundation. A pesach nama tun yisoid, so do the carbon pesach needs to have a foundation. Again, because we compare it, because both of them say this idea of zrika. And we continue on to the top of samach heim and av, where the Gemara asks, what do we mean? The oil guf minal. How do we know that the carbon oil itself needs to have, when you're throwing the blood, to have underneath it the area where there's the foundation? And again, as we said before, which excludes the eastern and the southern part, except for one amma of the east, which is by the north, and the Amma by the south, which is near the west, whereas it says in the Mishnah Masechtas Midos that it would eat into, because it would really the Yisoid was only on two sides, but it would eat into the eastern part of the Mizbech, one Amma, and on the southern part, one Amma, but the rest of the south and in the east did not have any foundations. How do you know the Karban Oila has to be thrown where there is a Yisoid? Amma Krasa says in the Pasuk of Vayikra, El Yisoid Mizbech HaOilam, to the foundation of the Mizbeach Ha'ayla. Now, this is by a different carbon. It's actually told me by the carbon chattas of the Nasi, that it says, V'lokech ha'koyin midam ha'chattas betzboi, that the koyin would take from the blood of the chattas in his finger, v'nos na'karnas Mizbeach Ha'ayla, and he would put on the corners of the Mizbeach Ha'ayla. And the blood would be poured, again, it says the same term, to the foundation of the Mizbeach HaOila. Now, it should have just said, Yisoid HaMizbeach. It already said, it already called the Mizbeach HaOila once. Why does it say Mizbeach HaOila? Rather, what it's saying is teaching this lesson, that it's the foundation of the Mizbeach should be done for the Kabban of Oila. And Alma Oila to the Yisoid. So therefore, you see, from that extra wording of Oila, repeats it here again, which it didn't have to, it was saying Mizbeach HaOila, it's the part of Mizbeach, where the Karban Oila should be done, so that we see that the Oila needs to have the Yisoid, as it's saying over there, El Yisoid, Mizbeach HaOila, that it needs the Yisoid, and therefore the Oila needs the Yisoid, so there it says Zrika, and Karban Pesach, which is included by Bukhar, also says Zrika, so there also, it also needs the Yisoid.